Grow 201, Maturity and Covenant. This class, Grow 201, is the second of our four basic classes at the Pentecostals. Since these classes build on each other, you should have already completed Connect 101 before this class. This class is designed to equip you for spiritual growth and give opportunity for covenant membership at the Pentecostals. The goal of this class, that I will discover successful habits so that I can grow mature. Colossians 4 and 12. That you may become mature Christians and may fulfill God's will for you. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. We are not meant to remain as children, but to grow up in every way into Christ. In this class, we will focus on five basic habits every Christian needs to develop in order to grow in spiritual maturity. What is spiritual maturity? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. So that his people would learn to serve and his body would grow strong. This will continue until we are united by our faith and by our understanding of the Son of God. Then we will be mature, just as Christ is, and we will be completely like him. Spiritual maturity is a process. Romans 8:29. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him should become like his Son. Facts about spiritual maturity. Number one. It is not automatic. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. You have been Christians for a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others, but instead, you need someone to teach you. When a person is still living on milk, it shows he isn't very far along in the Christian life. He's still a baby Christian. Number two, it is a process. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5, learn to be mature. 2 Peter 3:18, continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Number three, it takes discipline. 1 Timothy 4 and 7, take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. 1 Timothy 4 and 7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Understanding discipleship. Number one, mature believers are called disciples. Number two, I can't be a disciple without being disciplined. Number three, the more disciplined I am, the more God can use me. Number four, the mark of a disciple is cross-bearing. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Number five, how often am I to do this? Every day. Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Number six, disciples do whatever it takes to put God first. Five habits of a disciple. How can I become a disciple? Develop disciple habits. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. You have put off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self. This is the new being which God, its creator, is constantly renewing in his image in order to bring you to the full knowledge of himself. Romans 13 and 14. But clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about satisfying your sinful self. What is a habit? Webster's Dictionary. A continual, often unconscious inclination to do a certain activity acquired through frequent repetition. An established disposition of the character, a customary practice. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. What are the five disciple habits? Number one, Bible reading. Number two, prayer and fasting. Number three, stewardship. Number four, holiness. And number five, fellowship. The disciples' cross. Prayer, Bible reading, stewardship, holiness, fellowship. Holiness glorifies God and testifies to man. If you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own life, and you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. Luke 14:26 through 27. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Galatians 5:24. Our spiritual habits of prayer and Bible reading develop our vertical relationship with God. Our spiritual habits of stewardship and fellowship develop our horizontal relationship with God's people. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Romans 6:19. In the past, you voluntarily gave your bodies to the service of vice and the purposes of evil. So now give yourselves to the service of righteousness for the purpose of becoming truly good. The habits of Bible reading. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Six ways to get a grasp on your Bible. Number one, hear. Number two, read. Number three, study. Number four, memorize. Number five, meditate. And number six, apply. How to hear God's word? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Problem. We forget 95% of what we hear after only 72 hours. We have to work on it. Number one, be ready and eager to hear from God. Luke 8:8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. James 1:19. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Number two, deal with attitudes that prevent hearing from God. See the parable of the sower in Luke 8:4-15. Luke 8:18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. A closed mind, a superficial mind, a preoccupied mind, a ready mind. Number three, confess any sin in your life. James 1:21. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Number four, take notes on what you hear. Hebrews 2:1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Number five, act on what you hear. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James 1:25. Do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice. You will be blessed by God in what you do. How to read God's word. Revelation 1:3. Happy is the one who reads this book, and happy are those who listen to the words of this prophetic message and obey what is written in this book. How often should I read God's word? Daily. Deuteronomy 17:19. The Bible shall be his constant companion. He must read from it every day of his life so that he will learn to respect the Lord his God by obeying all of his commandments. Suggestions. Read the Bible systematically, not haphazardly. Use a Bible without notes so God can speak to you. Read from different translations for understanding. Read the Bible aloud, quietly to yourself, for focus. Underline or highlight key verses for emphasis. Choose a reading plan and stick with it. At the Pentecostals, we use the King James Version for its accuracy, the New King James Translation for readability, other versions like the Message, NET, NIV, etc., for clarity. My plan: if I read approximately 15 minutes a day, I can read through the Bible once a year. There are many good Bible reading plans online, featuring different ways to read through the Bible. For example, chronological order, Old and New Testaments together, etc. Some will even email daily reminders to you. Our website, www.mypentecost.com, has some great plans. In addition, the YouVersion Bible app has many excellent plans that will remind you daily and track your progress. How to study God's Word. Acts 17 and 11. They accepted the message eagerly and studied the scriptures every day. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. Know what his word says and means. The difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible is simply that you make notes when you study. The secrets of effective Bible study are, number one, comparing other scriptures on the same subject. Number two, asking the right questions as you are studying. Bible study resources. Study Bible helps you find other scriptures on the same subject. Parallel Bible, compare two or more translations. Application Bible, relates the scriptures to modern life. Bible Dictionary, gives detailed background information. Concordance, helps find certain words in the Bible. Commentary, offers inspirational background material. Apps, does all the above faster. We recommend YouVersion Bible. How to memorize God's Word. Proverbs 7, verses 2 and 3. Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Number one, pick a verse that speaks to you. Number two, say the reference before and after the verse. Number three, read the verse aloud many times or record it. Number four, break the verse into natural phrases. Number five, emphasize key words when quoting the verse. Number six, write out the verse on a card and carry it with you. Number seven, display your verses in prominent places. Number eight, always memorize the verse perfectly. Number nine, use a memorization app. We recommend Verses, www.getverses.com. Benefits of memorizing scripture. Number one, it helps me resist temptation. Psalms 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Number two, it helps me make wise decisions. Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. Number three, it strengthens me when I'm under stress. Psalm 119:49. Remember what you said to me, your servant. I hang on to these words for dear life. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, Your promises rejuvenate me. Number 4, it comforts me when I'm sad. Jeremiah 15 and 16. Your words are what sustain me. They are food to my hungry soul. They bring joy to my sorrowing heart and delight me. Number 5, it helps me witness to unbelievers. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The key to memorizing scripture is review. We remember things that are important to us. When to memorize scripture? During your quiet time with God, while exercising or driving, while waiting or in spare moments, while preparing for the day or at bedtime. Psalm 119:72, your teachings are worth more to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. How to meditate on God's word. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. But they delight in doing everything God wants them to, and day and night are always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. They are like trees along a riverbank, bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all they do shall prosper. Meditation is focused thinking about a Bible verse in order to discover how I can apply its truth to my life. Benefits of meditating on Scripture. Number 1, it is the key to becoming like Christ. Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number 2, it is the key to answered prayer. John 15 and 7. But if you live your life in me, and my words live in your hearts, you can ask for whatever you like, and it will come true for you. Number 3, it is the key to successful living. Joshua 1 and 8. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Tips for meditating on Scripture. 1. Picture it. Imagine the scene in your mind. 2. Pronounce it. Say the verse aloud, with emphasis. Number 3. Paraphrase it. Rewrite the verse in your own words. 4. Personalize it. Replace the pronouns with your name. 5. Pray it. Turn the verse into a prayer and say it to God. Number 6. Probe it. Ask questions to unpack the verse's truth. Worry is simply negative meditation. If you know how to do that, you already know how to meditate. How to apply God's word. James 1:22. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. Matthew 5:19. Whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Questions to ask. Number 1. What did this mean to the original hearers? Number 2. What is the underlying timeless principle? Number 3. Where and how could I apply that principle? 4 marks of a good application. Number 1, it's personal. Number 2, it's practical. Number 3, it's possible. Number 4, it's provable. Hint, write out a sentence describing the action you will take to apply the truth you have learned from God's word. John 13:17. Now that you know these things, do them. That is the path of blessing. the habit of prayer and fasting. Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Acts 13:3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. John 15:7-8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish and you shall have it. And in this way you become my disciples. Romans 12:12. Base your happiness on your hope in Christ. When trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly, maintaining the habit of prayer. Jesus taught us to have the right attitude in prayer. Matthew 6:5-8. Be real. Matthew 6:5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen of men. Don't try to impress God. Don't try to impress others. Be relaxed. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Be revealing. Matthew 6:7-8. Don't recite the same prayer over and over as the heathen do, who think prayers are answered only by repeating them again and again. Remember, your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. Rule number one, never judge prayer by feeling. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. Rule number two, if you miss a day, don't give up. Galatians 6:9. Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Jesus taught us to have the right approach in prayer. Matthew 6:9-15. This then is how you should pray. Matthew 6:9. 6 ways to get a grasp on prayer. Number one, praise. Number two, purpose. Number three, provision. Number four, pardon. Number five, people. And number six, protection. Praise. I express my love to God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Matthew 6:9. 2 kinds of praise. Adoration, praising God for who He is. Thanksgiving, praising God for what He has done. Psalms 104, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. A, remind yourself of the promises found in the various meanings of God's name and affirm them as you pray. B, remind yourself of all the blessings God has given you and express your thanks for them as you pray. The names of God. God is so magnificent that the Hebrew language uses compound names to describe the many aspects of His character. You can use each of these compound names to focus on what God is really like. Think on the implications of these names and you'll have lots to praise God for. Jehovah Shammah, God is present with me, Ezekiel 48:35. You are with me, so I am never alone. Jehovah Rohi, God is my shepherd, Psalm 23:1. You lead me, feed me, and protect me. Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider, Genesis 22:14. You see what I need before I even ask. Jehovah Rapha, God is my healer. Exodus 15:26. You can heal my body, emotions, and relationships. Jehovah Siskindu, God is my righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. You accept me and forgive me of my sins. Jehovah Mekidekish. God is sanctification. Exodus 31:13. You give me the power to live holy. Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. Judges 6:24. You give me peace in spite of my life circumstances. Jehovah Nisi. God is my banner. Exodus 17 and 15. You are my victory through conflict and confrontation. All of God's attributes are summed up in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9 through 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Purpose. I commit to God's will for my life. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6 and 10. Pray for God's will to be done in my family, church, job, ministry, future, neighborhood, city, state, and nation. Romans 12 and 1. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Provision. I ask God to provide for my needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6 and 11. What needs can I pray about? All of them. Philippians 4:19. And it is he who will supply all your needs from his riches and glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. James 4 and 2. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. Key to successful praying. Be specific. Philippians 4 and 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. Pardon. I ask God to forgive my sins. Matthew 6 and 12. And forgive us our debts. Four steps to forgiveness. Number one, ask God to reveal my sin. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me. Number two, confess each sin specifically. Proverbs 28:13. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show mercy to you. Number three, make restitution to others when necessary. Matthew 5:23 and 24. So if you are about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go at once and make peace with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift to God. Number four, by faith accept God's forgiveness. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. People, I pray for other people. Matthew 6:12. As we forgive our debtors. Hint. Make a list of people you want to pray for. You might pray for different groups of people on different days of the week. Missionaries, family, unsaved friends, church leaders, etc. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Pray much for others. Plead for God's mercy upon them. Give thanks for all he is going to do for them. Protection. I ask for spiritual protection. Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All believers face spiritual battles. Satan wants to defeat you through temptation and fear, but by praying daily for protection, you will have the power to face every situation. 1 John 4 and 4. The Spirit who is in you is more powerful than the Spirit who is in those who belong to the world. Praise. I end my prayer the same way I started. Matthew 6:13. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The habits of stewardship. Luke 14:33. None of you can be my disciples unless he gives up all of his possessions. Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. The Bible teaches the principle of life management. See the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-25. Our place and service in heaven will depend on the faithfulness of our lives and service here on earth. A talent represents our abilities, time, resources, opportunities to serve God while on earth. These things are considered by God as a trust that we are responsible to administer in the wisest way possible. Stewardship recognizes God as my ultimate source. My life belongs to God, James 4:13-17. My time belongs to God, Ephesians 5:16. My body belongs to God, 1 Corinthians 6:15-20. My money belongs to God, Haggai 2:8. My giving reveals my spiritual maturity. 2 Corinthians 8:7. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Why God wants me to give. 7 benefits. Number 1, giving makes me more like God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Number 2, giving draws me closer to God. Matthew 6:21. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. Number 3, giving is the antidote to materialism. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Number 4, giving strengthens my faith. Proverbs 3:5-9. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything your land produces. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Number 5. Giving is an investment for eternity. 1 Timothy 6:18-19. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Number 6, giving blesses me in return. Proverbs 22:9, a generous man himself will be blessed. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Psalm 112:5. Good will come to him who is generous. Number 7. Giving makes me happy. Acts 20:35. There is more happiness in giving than in receiving. What is the difference between a tithe and an offering. A tithe is giving 10% of my income to God. An offering is anything I give above my tithe. Why I should tithe? 7 reasons. Number 1, because God commands it. Leviticus 27 and 30. A tenth of the produce of the land belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. 2, tithe shows that God has first place in my life. Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. 3, tithing reminds me that everything is from God. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Number 4, it expresses gratitude for what I have been given. Psalms 116 and 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Deuteronomy 16 and 17. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Number 5, refusing to tithe is like stealing from God. Malachi 3 and 8 and 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offering. Bring the whole tithe into my house. 6, tithing gives God an opportunity to bless me. Malachi 3 and 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out as much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Number 7, tithing proves that I really love God. John 14 and 15, if you really love me, you will keep the commandments I have given you. 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, and into verse 8. Now I want you to be leaders also in the spirit of cheerful giving. This is one way to prove that your love is real, that it goes beyond mere words. What should I tithe? The first 10%. Proverbs 3 and 9. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income. Where should I tithe? Where I worship. Malachi 3 and 10. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse. When should I tithe? Each pay period. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. On every Lord's day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. Giving with the right attitude. Give willingly. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. For God loves a cheerful giver. Give generously. 2 Corinthians 8, 3 through 4. They gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service. Give expectantly. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. The key to giving. They gave themselves first to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8 and 5. The habit of holiness. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Romans 12 and 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why is holiness important? God commands it. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. Hebrews 12:14. Try to live in peace with everyone and seek to live a clean and holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Holiness is not an option for Christians. Holiness is essential to our salvation. What does holiness mean? Separation. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership. That's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are, each of us, a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way. I'll live in them, move into them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. So leave the corruption and compromise, leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters to me. The word of the Master, God. The word holy actually means set apart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is a definite distinction between what we were and what we have now become. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. James 4:4. You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. Anyone who wants to befriend the world becomes God's enemy. The God of the world system is the devil, so we are to be separate from the world. 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedily longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. We avoid letting the world enter our hearts by carefully choosing what we do, what we see, and what we think. When sin first entered the world in the Garden of Eden, God responded with two important principles for the protection of men and women. Number one, the principle of distinction. Genesis 1:27. So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. Number two, the principle of modesty. Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible says that holiness must first affect our inward attitude, spirit, and then our outward actions, soul, and even our outward appearance, body. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. James 2:14, 17, and 24. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you do not prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. It isn't enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is not faith at all. It is dead and useless. So you see, we are made right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. The habit of fellowship. The Christian who is not committed to a group of other believers for praying, sharing, and service, so that he is known as he knows others, is not an obedient Christian. He is not in the will of God. However vocal he may be in his theology, he is not obeying the Lord. Dr. Ray Ortlund. John 13:34-35. Love each other just as much as I love you. Your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming near. Why is fellowship so important? Number one, I belong in God's family with other believers. Galatians 6:10. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Ephesians 2:19. You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Romans 12:5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Number two, I need encouragement to grow spiritually. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of one another and how we can encourage each other to love and do good deeds. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 and verse 12. Two are better off than one. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad, because there is no one to help him. Two people can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. A rope made of three cords is hard to break. Number three, I need accountability to grow spiritually. Proverbs 17:17. People learn from one another, just as iron sharpens irons. Hebrews 3:13. You must encourage one another each day. If you don't, then sin may fool some of you and make you stubborn. Galatians 6:1-2. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Number four, there is power when God's people are together. Matthew 18:20. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. Matthew 18:19. Whenever two of you on earth agree about anything you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Number five, God gives me gifts to bless my church family. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Number six, fellowship is a powerful witness to the world. John 17:21. My prayer for all of them is that they will be of one heart and mind, and the world will believe you sent me. Ephesians 4:2-4. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. There are nearly 60 one another commands in the Bible that you cannot obey outside of fellowship. Serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Accept one another, Romans 15:7. Forgive one another, Colossians 3:13. Greet one another, Romans 16:16. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Be devoted to one another, Romans 12:10. Honor one another, Romans 12:10. Teach one another, Romans 15:14. Submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We believe that our church must grow larger and deeper through worship and smaller and wider through fellowship at the same time. Acts 5:42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news. Develop good fellowship habits. Number one, desire. If you start half-heartedly, you'll never succeed. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Psalms 37:4, do what the Lord wants, and he will give you your heart's desire. Number two, decision. Don't procrastinate. It's much easier to break a bad habit today than it will be later. Tomorrow just never comes. Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Number three, declaration. The power of a promise is awesome, particularly if you have a friend hold you accountable to keep it. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who is alone and falls because no one is there to help. Four, determination. Never be swayed by the devil's temptation to return to your old habits. Just this once. It takes 3 weeks to get comfortable with a new habit, doing it daily, and another 3 weeks for it to become a permanent part of your life. Luke 9:62. Anyone who begins to plow a field and keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. Number five, dependence. Rely on God's power to help you establish your new habits. Satan will fight you, but God's power is greater. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, a love, and self-discipline.